This is the world's greatest Springsteen podcast with Fisherman and Tom. How you doing, Tom?
I'm doing pretty good. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well myself. We're recording, and once again on a Saturday morning. It's probably my favorite time of the week, Saturday morning. I got very little pressure, very little anxiety on a Saturday morning. So here we are, and there is some stuff to talk about in Springsteen world this week. The biggest thing, I believe, is he made a personal appearance at the christening, the unveiling, the opening. I don't even know what it was, the dedicating. I'm not even sure. Hopefully Tom knows more than me. But it was the an actual full building for the Monmouth University Springsteen Archive. Is that correct, Tom? Did I get that right?
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be some call it a museum, in Monmouth University. So I'm not sure. I don't think the building is built yet, but there were sketches of it, or of what it's gonna look like.
I read that there's gonna be a 230 seat theater, and I don't think that's for live performances by anybody. I think it's to show footage, to show like uncirculating, non-released film and video. That's just my hunch, but you know, my videos are in that Monmouth archive. Every video I've made has been transferred over to that archive. Maybe one day they'll be showing a Fisherman cut on the screen at the Monmouth University Springsteen Archive 230 seat theater, and maybe we'll be there.
Yeah, I'd visit if they were playing some unreleased video. That would be pretty cool.
Well, yeah, we know that there's film and video that has been shown at festivals, film festivals. Zimny has shown up and shown some stuff, so they've got that stuff. I don't know how much stuff they have, or whether they're going to sell tickets to 2-hour shows or 3-hour shows, or if it's just like, you know, I went to Disneyland as a kid and you would walk into an exhibit and there'd be a film that played over and over again in this theater, that you would walk into the theater and there'd be 150 seats or whatever. And you'd see Steamboat Willie and a couple other old Disney cartoons, and then you'd walk out and go into a different exhibit. So, you know, I picture maybe something like that where there's always something playing. I don't know. We could guess all day long. But he made a public appearance. He gave a little speech about the pressures of having your name dedicated on a building and the responsibilities with that and the risk that they're taking, that maybe he could in the future get in some trouble that he really already got in. Remember?
Yeah, he made a little joke saying that, mentioning the arrest. I don't know if that was 2 years ago now, but he said that he was arrested for shooting tequila in a public park.
He said he could be in the future. He goes, yeah, you put my name on a building, I could, you know, I'm still alive. I could fuck up. I could be arrested for doing tequila shooters in a restricted park or something to that effect, as if it hadn't already happened. Wink, wink. And it was, I guess, kind of cute. But
he mentioned normally you name a building after someone after they're dead, but he said, I'm still alive. And he actually, he didn't mention his health problems in this little, I think it was maybe 3 minutes of him talking, and he but he looked good, looked healthy. There were a couple of people in the audience. He was there with John Landau, and for some reason Darlene Love was actually in the audience.
He called her out too and had her stand up, and but what he said right before her name I couldn't hear on the handheld video from someone there. So I don't know what he made a mention that, you know, she was there for a reason. I don't remember.
I don't either. Yeah.
All right. We are the world's greatest Springsteen podcast, but not the world's most informative. Springsteen podcast.
I think we hit the major
the important parts. We got that. These are the important parts.
Yeah, he did say that as far as the museum goes, that he wanted to unload a lot of the junk in his house, and this would give him the opportunity to do that and put it in this this so-called museum.
Two so floors of notebooks written in pencil and
yeah, scribbles. I don't know for sure what he's talking, what's junk he's referring to, but hopefully it'll be stuff tapes, we like.
Tapes and more tapes and more tapes. That's all I care about. Tapes and hard drives, tapes.
Maybe some instruments.
I don't know what I, if somebody else isn't playing the instrument, they're kind of useless to me because I am not musical. So what I want is tapes.
He did mention in some recent interview that he doesn't reuse his guitars that he records with. Like he'll use a specific guitar to record an album on. Like I believe I don't know if it was Letter to You or one of the albums before this, he actually recorded all of it on that guitar that was gifted to him by a fan. I believe it was an Italian fan, and he handmade this guitar and actually gave it to Bruce outside maybe Broadway.
I've heard that story, yes.
Yeah, so he said he used it, and the interviewer asked, you know, if you would use it again or something, and he said, no, I'm not going to, you know, like once he uses a specific guitar, he puts it away.
But did he say that is true about all guitars or just that guitar, that guitar had special meaning for this album, so he's putting it away? Did he mean to say that, you know, I got a special guitar for every album? I don't think so.
Yeah, he kind of did. And like he mentioned, the guitar he used for Nebraska, he said he's never used it again.
That's interesting.
So he could possibly throw some guitars maybe in the in this, I keep calling it a museum. I don't know.
If you could have the Nebraska guitar or all the unreleased Nebraska material, which would you want?
The unreleased Nebraska material.
Financially, I think I'd want the guitar because you could sell it for a lot more money than you can those raspy tapes. Maybe not. I don't know, man. There's a collector to pay for everything, and those raspy tapes are probably really worth a fortune. But well, the guitars go for crazy, crazy money.
I wouldn't be too interested in that hearing the recordings of him practicing the songs. We have heard that kind of stuff in the past. It's out there, some of it. But I'm more interested in like the electric Nebraska, the unreleased recorded stuff, you know, that he just threw away or put on a shelf and then released the tapes from his house.
In this day and age where there's again, financially, I don't know if you were suddenly gifted these tapes, I don't know how you would recoup bring in any money financially in this day and age. Bootlegs aren't what they were. Everything is traded for free online. As soon as the cat is out of the bag, everybody has it. And the guitar ends up at auction and goes for $3 million. And it's like a totally different thing.
Well, yes. I mean, I'm not all about the money like you are, Aaron.
No, I am all, everybody, if anybody who knows me, they know I am all about the money.
I'm into the artistic. I want to hear this unreleased stuff.
Aside from the financial gain, I would have no use for the guitar. I mean, if he handed me a harmonica, I would love it, and I would keep it. But the reality is it wouldn't mean all that much to me. And I would never hold up a sign begging for one, by the way. I would never hold up a, please, no. It's my birthday, I want to get married, whatever it is. I'm not begging. I would never beg for a harmonica. But I gave away my autograph that he gave me, that he signed for me and handed right to me. I gave that away. It's just I want the music. But, you know, as far stuff, man, it's just, I can't carry any more stuff. I move every few years, and there's just this accumulation of stuff, and so I don't want his guitar.
Yeah,
I would sell it if I had his guitar, but I want the music in my ears, so I would take the music also.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a minimalist myself. I do have an acoustic guitar hanging on my wall, and
Springsteen's. Did
you
get it? No. It's not the Nebraska guitar that he recorded. Well, Nebraska.
I tell the my dates that it is, just to get them in the door, and then after about a week, they realize I'm full of shit, and then they never call me again.
I could, there's a Springsteen font that you can put into like WordPerfect and then type a letter that looks like he wrote it. And we could do, you remember Hateful Eight? Remember he had that letter from, who was it? Was it from George Washington? He had a letter, or from Abe Lincoln? Samuel L. Jackson had a letter from, I think, Lincoln that he would show off to people. You remember The Hateful Eight, the movie The Hateful Eight?
Yeah.
I know you saw Tarantino, Quentin Tarantino. Yeah. And he showed off the letter. That's what Kurt Russell remembered about him. Is like, you got that letter from Lincoln. He's like, yeah, and he had it on him. And I could produce a letter from Springsteen if you want to start showing it to ladies. Here's my letter from Springsteen with that Springsteen font. It looks like he hand wrote it to you.
So was it not legitimate?
What, the Lincoln letter?
Yeah.
You want me to spoil Hateful Eight for our audience?
The letter was fake. I gotcha. I thought this was in real life. He had this.
No, it was in the movie The Hateful Eight.
Okay, I thought he somehow acquired this letter and was showing it around in interviews or something.
No, his character in Hateful Eight was showing his letter from Lincoln to Kurt Russell. And Jennifer Jason Lee from Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yes.
All right. That we'll save that for the World's Greatest Hateful Eight podcast.
Yeah. There's a couple of Bruce rumors, both good. One that he may add some Australian dates to this tour that still is about 6 months away.
I think that talk's been going on for a long time. I've never seen any real evidence that there's a firm thing going on, that there's any dates pending. I thought he was going to play this winter because it's summer over there. And I thought he was going to play this winter in Australia, but they ended up scrapping the end of the US and moving it all to next year. So everything seems to have backed up a whole year. And
I thought there was some breaking news about Canada, because I saw an article, and it was a brand new article just like yesterday. And it said Bruce adds Edmonton to the Canada date. So I said, oh wow, that's cool. He added an Edmonton. And then I looked at your list, and it was behind you, and it said Edmonton already on there. It was for November 19th. And so they didn't actually add anything to the current.
Go back and look at the original list to see if there was a, but I think every single one of those were rescheduled dates. I don't think they added Edmonton, but the way news operates now, the clickbait news, you see stuff from 3 weeks ago cycle through with a new headline. I'm still seeing articles about Springsteen's health crisis and needs to cancel his tour, and this was we've moved on from that news. We're on to next, looking forward to next year's tour.
Yeah, you're right. I see that a lot. They take a story and make it new again.
So what else we got in the rumor mill?
And this one's a little more exciting. That the first Friday, Nugs release, for those that don't know, Nugs was releasing a Bruce Archive concert on the first Friday of each month. And supposedly that's going to restart in November, which would make a lot of sense.
I wonder if this is rumor or it's just somebody's pure speculation.
This is, well, I mean, if this happens, we'll have something to listen to, at least. There is a rumor that it will be a Born in the USA archive.
Well, that's always sweet, but there'll be no video for that. There'll be no video. Chances are there's only a few videos out there. We got lucky on one. I dubbed a 1985 Giant Stadium video with Nugs audio, and the video is some rough video, but with that audio, still pretty sweet to be able to see it. Some of the scenes are really hard to see. They're far away, and he's shooting the stage. And when he's shooting the screen, it's not that bad. In fact, I've been in touch with the guy who shot that 1985 Giant Stadium video. He's hopefully going to come on this show very soon.
But what about that? What about those pro shot videos from 85 that we've seen where it's not, it's just individual songs? Is there a full video for that with, obviously not pro shot like some of the videos, but could you put together a show from that?
Of which shows?
Remember recently we looked at some of the videos and there's like Janie, Don't You Lose Heart. There's, I think, Ramrod and Glory Days. And that they looked to be pro shot.
Where are they from? I don't know if I noticed that message from you. I don't remember seeing a Janie, Don't You Lose Heart pro shot.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not exactly sure.
From the reunion tour from New York.
No, this was 85.
From 85, Janie, Don't You Lose Heart pro shot. Yeah. I will check it out. All right. Send it again.
Okay. I know you've seen it. We discussed it.
All right. Well, I smoke a lot of weed, man. I take care of a woman. It takes a lot of stress off.
Well, yeah,
if you expect me to remember shit, man, we're going to have a problem.
I don't know if what's up there has been released by Nugs. But that would be great if you could somehow get that up there. And then we'd have to find some really bad video to go along with it. But I don't know.
They just remain clips. Clips are all right when you can get clips.
Yeah. At this point, I think there's only like four or five songs up there from one particular show that are perfect video.
Were they newly uploaded? You know who put them up? You know whose YouTube channel it is?
No. No, but it's up there.
All right. Well, I will look into it. So the last thing I wanted to talk about is we never really talked in depth about the final show of 2023, which turned out to be MetLife number 3. Probably the most unique show of the entire tour since opening night, since Tampa, which was probably, was pretty unique compared to the rest of the tour. Lots of rarities and one tour premiere and lots of songs that you expect to be in the show, not in the show. And I know that it was widely hailed as a great show by the people that went, and I kind of put off listening to it until I could sit down and watch the whole video. And we did that just the other night. We premiered my cut of when I cut, I hear all the songs in little 1 minute spurts, so I don't really sit down and listen to the whole thing until I watch it with everybody else. And the other night we watched the whole thing, and that show really lived up to the hype, I think. I know you were there and got a chance to check it out.
Yeah, it was really, really a great show. And of course, the audio is the main thing, which is the professional audio. And that's what makes any show great, because no matter what, we're going to have great audio.
And all my 2023 cuts have set sweet audio, but I think this show, I don't know. I mean, the set list changes becomes a really big deal. We haven't gotten that much this tour. It's been very, very, very similar, night after night. And, you know, even though the five or six of these songs had been played before, the tour premiere is not always what's important. It's like, what were they? Atlantic City was played five times the whole tour, and three of them were like right there at MetLife. Like each, it was played each night, but something about it was still fresh because he's, it was the only time he played at Cleveland. And then those three shows at MetLife. Got a job and tried to put my money away, but I had debts that no honest man could pay. So I drew what I had from the Central Trust, and I bought us two tickets on that Coast City bus. What was the tour premiere?
It made sense to play Atlantic City in Jersey, so we kind of, some expected it. He played, it was either, I may be mixing this up, but he did either Something in the Night or A Meeting Across the River. It was one or the other.
Something in the Night. We found the things we love. They were crushed and dying in the dirt. We tried to pick up the pieces and get away without getting hurt. He hasn't Meeting Across River at all this tour. Something in the Night was not a tour premiere. It was the second time he played it. Might have even been the third, but I'm pretty sure it was the second. Something in the Night. But what was the tour premiere? Was it Two Hearts? Premiere
was Two Hearts.
Two Hearts tour premiere. Once I spent my time with Duff Garcia. So Atlantic City, Two Hearts, Something in the Night, and I want to say, did he do Sherry Darling? No, he did Spirit in the Night, which he had played the night before, or the show before, not all three, but the two, set night two and night three, did Spirit in the Night. Grew bright, the stars through light, on Billy and Dave, dancing in the moonlight. They were down in the water in a stone mud fight. Killer Joe gone passed out on the lawn. And then in the encores, he had Detroit Medley. And Jungle Land. And the poets down here don't write nothing at all. They just stand back and let it all be. And he dropped Glory Days. And he dropped I'll See You in My Dreams, which I'm pretty sure is the only show of the tour that hasn't ended with I'll See You in My Dreams and ended with Jersey Girl. And that is the last song that they have played in 2023.
Thank you, Jersey. Thanks for three great nights. The E Street Band loves you.
They opened with Lonesome Day Night.
Yeah, and then that was surprising. And yeah, it was Lonesome Day Night. And I kind of thought he was going to drop No Surrender for probably the first time, but he ended up doing No Surrender.
He did drop Ghosts. He didn't play Ghosts.
He dropped Ghosts and I'll See You in My Dreams for the first time. And I'll tell you, it's good as the show was, it's very disappointing anytime he's dropped the new material from Letter to You. And so Ghosts, that was surprising, because that's a full E Street Band song from Letter to You. the song I'll See You in My Dreams, maybe my favorite song on Letter to You, but the version he does at the end is not my favorite. Although there's nothing I can do about this. He's going to continue to end it by himself with an acoustic guitar. But I wanted to always hear, and I mentioned it before, the full band I'll See You in My Dreams, which they did on Saturday Night Live.
I got your gift.
I'm very surprised he didn't do it.
Well, this night he left it out completely. No rock version, no solo acoustic version, and the band stayed on stage, and they did a full band, Jersey Girl.
Right.
And then he signed off. And
doesn't make sense.
I think, well, he might have been planning on doing I'll See You in My Dreams after Jersey Girl, but he was hurting. You can see in his face a few times on the show that he was hurting, and he was done. And he seemed like he wasn't 100% sure he was done when he said goodbye. But check it out. I'm repeating it on my channel this Sunday.
I heard you say that. And but to me, I've seen that face before. So I don't know for sure if we can really say that that's why he makes that face. Because I have seen that many times before. And
I'll have to find a moment on the video and send you what to cue the counter at to the face that I'm talking about. Well, it might not be the same face you're referring to.
I saw it, and I just because you mentioned it, and I just feel like I've seen it before, and it doesn't, unless you're right about that he was in so much pain that he couldn't continue, because that's just such a quick song, and it's singing so softly, you're almost talking into the mic, and I don't understand, like, if it's a time thing, like once he did Jersey Girl, like I don't have time to do one more song.
I don't think that's an issue on this tour. He's not working till curfew. You know, he starts at 7:30 prompt. It was only a 3-hour show. It wasn't like a crazy, you know, the longest show of the tour.
But he has been very strict about these things, because he'll remove a song and then replace it with something else and not play that song, that other song. So he's very tight with this set list, where it almost seems like it's organized in a way that he just can't give you a second song. He's got to take one away and put another in. And instead of just making the show a little bit longer, it's like, no, it's got to be this long.
You know what? We've heard interviews with band members over the years who have joked about how the show is too long and, he's nuts and he goes too long. We all wish it was shorter. Now, for all we know, they got it in their contract this time. They're like, dude, 3 hours, 12 minutes tops, 3 hours, 15 minutes, whatever. I don't know. I'm only speculating, you know, it comes down to Springsteen's decision, but you know, there could be people on the stage that say, hey, I can't do 3.5 hours on my two new hips.
Yeah. I'm fine with a shorter. I've always said, I think it should be shorter, because, I don't think it needs to be longer than 3 hours, and that it's, but my thing is the quality of the quality and quantity. I mean, you can always fit in some songs if you take away a little bit of the banter and you extend a song like Glory Days into a 10-minute version of Glory Days.
I love the showmanship. I didn't really need the dancing with people with signs from the last couple tours where Dancing in the Dark went on for 12 minutes, especially when you're listening to a Nugs in your car and it's just, you know, the same over and over and over again while they're bringing people up on stage. That I was never a huge fan of, but all the the preacher stuff and the preach and the speeches, and then we're gonna build a house out of noise. I love that shit. I eat that shit up. And like, I can watch Springsteen for 4 hours. Yeah, I couldn't watch U2 for 4 hours. I'd be like, I'd be bored. If I wasn't the fan that I am, I could see other people going, it's way too long, man. What are these songs? You know, I know that it's probably hard on the regular audience to go that long.
I feel like the songs are always better when they're closer to the record version. And that if it's a 4 minute song, I prefer it to be around 4 minutes and instead of 8 minutes. I feel like you can take a song, do it for 4 minutes, and then you'd have room to put in loose ends or, you know, a song that we want to hear. And that's just me. If I was Bruce's manager, which I'm not, I would tell him, hey, throw as many songs in there as you can in this 2.5-3 hour show, and stop extending songs. You know, I mean, there's just no, I don't know.
I'm happy to hear plenty of songs, but as far as all when, you know, long speeches and shtick and all that, I hang on his every word. So I love every minute of that. And it's, you know, I'm a jam band fan. I saw the Grateful Dead over 100 times. And so I got nothing against Kitty's back, extended solos, long drum craziness. I love it all. And I love that Springsteen doesn't, even now he's at 3 hours, he doesn't sacrifice anything to get that in. And this show only doesn't have that much. I mean, this show has the George Thies story and then the George Thies thing in Backstreets that now has added a kid on the way. He has a kid on the way on his wedding day when there couldn't have been 19. Suddenly, he didn't have a kid on the way for the first, I don't know, year of the tour.
And I got that picture. That picture of the two of us on the day you got married. And you were barely 19 with a baby coming.
Well, we'll see if he alters his speech now when the tour restarts during the song from Letter to You, Last Man Standing, if he mentions that his first band was the Rogues instead of the Castile.
He did. He did it on... He did it at MetLife. I think they were there, though. So I don't think it's going to keep. I don't think it's going to stay in. I think they were in the building. And that is why he said I joined my first real rock and roll band. And then he said, and I never heard him say this before, I was in another one before that, but they kicked me out. Shows how much they know or knew.
And it was there that I embarked on the greatest adventure of my young life. I joined my first real rock and roll band. I was in one before that, but they threw me out. That shows what the fuck they knew.
But either way, that's the first time I'd ever heard him mention a band before that. And I think it's because they were there. And then I think they had already planned to get together to do this radio show. And that is why he brought that up at MetLife. I don't think it's going to be part of the, but we will see. We'll see if that speech is even still there come March. Here's another thing. Do you think March 19th will be the first show, or do you think other shows will be added earlier in 2024?
Wow. I haven't even considered that, but if it's based on his health, if he's, let's say he's better, doctor signs off on it in he's better in 2 months. Does he start early, or does he just say, no, I'm starting in March no matter what? I mean, who can say he's going to be completely fine in March, yet he's not going to be fine the month before that? Like, how can you determine?
I think a lot of it comes down to scheduling. I think that, you know, he took his November and December off, and March 19th starting up the tour isn't because the doctors cleared him on March 18th. He's probably cleared first of the year or February 1st, whatever it is. We don't know. It's all speculation. The question is, they said they were going to release the rescheduled dates. No new dates added at this time, but that doesn't mean they can't. There's not a lot of room in that schedule to add dates except the big chunk in the summer, because there's March and April, and then there's August, September, and there's nothing scheduled in between. There's been rumor of Europe and such at that point, right in there, not Australia, because he likes to go there in the winter. But there's been rumor of replaying Europe again. And there's another rumor I heard that he's going to go back and play MetLife again. The rumor I want to keep starting is that there's this gaping hole. The only hole besides the 3 month hole, the only hole in the two legs of that listing is at the night. There's six nights off after the first show back. The first show back is Phoenix on March 19th, and the second show isn't until March 25th. Six shows off. Every other listing on there only has two nights off, six nights off. Now, if they schedule something for March 22nd, that would be two nights off in between Phoenix and Vegas and Vegas and San Diego. So really what they really should do, and people should start talking about it like it's been done. Let's just assume it's been done and distribute the tickets. And let's see a March 22nd Springsteen in Vegas show get added.
Yeah, I don't see why he wouldn't, because he always plays Vegas.
The last time we talked, I brought this up, and I wasn't really sure. I knew that the Golden Knights didn't have a game on March 22nd, but I wasn't sure that the building wasn't already being used. But I've now checked the T-Mobile schedule. That is a wide-open date, and that doesn't mean it's not already penciled in for Springsteen, just that it has not been released to the public, so it's not on their calendar. There is nothing already reserving March 22nd. I don't know, man. I think I'm the only one talking about it. I don't hear anybody saying, hey, March 22nd in Vegas. But if you look at a map and you look at Phoenix and you look at San Diego and then you look at a calendar and you look at March 19th and you look at March 26th or 25th, you see that it just fucking makes sense. So let's have a show in Vegas. And I think we've covered, well, we haven't covered everything, because I wanted to talk about how your sister is becoming a big Springsteen fan. Yeah. You know, and she's one of the biggest,
yes,
world's greatest Springsteen podcast fans out there.
Yes, she's obsessed with our podcast. And she has seen him. This is my sister Susan in New York, and she saw him in concert once with a group of friends, maybe some of my family at the time. And I can't seem to remember what tour it was. It might have been a Lucky Town Human Touch, because she says I saw him in the 90s, so it had to have been Lucky Town Human Touch.
Or it could have been the reunion tour in 99.
No, it wasn't that recent. No. Okay. Yeah, this, because I originally thought it was in the 80s, and she might be wrong. She might have seen him during Tunnel of Love, but I think the way she's saying it, she thinks it's the 90s. So, but she was never really a Bruce fan. So she started watching, this show, and she's the only one I know of that goes back and rewatches the show.
Well, I do. I watch our show over and over again.
So she's becoming a big Springsteen fan. Like, she's really, really loves his music. Which
I think Tom's siblings are responsible for about 80% of our views.
Yeah, so she'll say, she'll go back and watch one of the shows and then write down a song that we mentioned that she's never heard of, and then she'll go listen to it. She'll text me how great the song was.
Well, have we been over Something in the Night with her? Because that's the song from tonight to take away. Something in the Night. She was watching our stream of of MetLife number three the other night. I heard it was the first one she watched all the way through.
Yeah, because I didn't, I don't think she knew about your show where you play a bootleg concert. And so I mentioned it to her before, but maybe she just didn't know how to find it. So I texted her before that show, and I said, hey, I can send you the link, and if you can watch this, you know, Aaron's going to play this show. It's the last show that Bruce did before the cancellations, and it's going to have pro audio. So she got home and watched it, and at some point it was getting, she had work the next day, so I thought she'd probably sign off. And she said she couldn't. She said she sat through the entire show and loved it and knew a lot of the songs because of she's been really going through the albums. I tell her what was my, and you know, we've done this on the show where I tell her what my favorite album is and my least favorite. And so she'll take that and go, and she's listened to Letter to You completely through, The Rising, Magic. My kind of, I think she's taken my favorites, but she's also listened to Born to Run straight through. And actually her favorite album so far matches up with my favorite, which is The Rising. So I thought that was great. And
I know, so, but your favorite, you don't even realize that your favorite shifts and changes, because when we first met, your favorite was Tunnel.
Yes.
And lately it's been pretty consistent that it's The Rising. And yeah. I know one day we're going to catch you with a new favorite, because they're all so great. And we should get her over a couple of like real important classic bootlegs like Winterland and Bryn Mawr, the Main Point 75, get her over a couple.
Yeah, I don't think she's seen a concert yet like that, you know, like one of the bootlegs that he's put out, or even, you know, Barcelona or live in New York City. But this was the first show she's seen from beginning to end that you just played. So it gives her an idea of what she's in for if she ever sees a more recent cut. And I'll take her if the opportunity arises, you know, where
starting March 19th, there will be opportunities again, maybe not in Florida or where she's in New York.
Yeah, she's in New York. So it's easy enough to, there's
all you got to do is get tickets for the most expensive show left on the tour, the Mohegan Sun.
And I usually give her the stats and the information on Bruce, but she did mention something to me. I don't know where she found this out, but she said she heard Billy Joel talking in some interview, and that he says that his favorite Bruce song is Meeting Across the River. So
I've heard that. I feel like he told that to Colbert, but I'm not sure.
Maybe, yeah. I think she's.
All right. Well, that is what I want to talk about. Let's make sure we get her on the mailing list so that she can get the links and can attend when she wants to attend. It was good to have her at the stream this past week. That was a great show, and lots of new great shows coming up. I've been working this morning on a 2009 Philly show that was a full Darkness on the Edge of Town performance. I'm putting that together from two old DVDs and an upgraded audio. It's not Nugs, but it's an upgraded audio. And always working on something new for the live concert stream.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we have some news next week about Tracks 2. I'm still hoping.
Tracks 2. I don't know. It's getting a little late in the season to really expect a release. I did hear that no releases are coming, but you think we're going to get possibly a restart on the Nug series? That certainly would be awesome. I would be looking forward to anything new that came out of that series.
Yeah, and who knows as far as starting something before March. I'm thinking if he's going to do this soul covers tour that is rumored to happen, that might be a good time for that. Not that that would excite me, but that would be at least, you know, a time that he could throw that in there and do a short tour.
I have a feeling that's going to be completely, if it hasn't already been completely scrapped, it's going to be completely scrapped. I mean, the information that came out of that came from an interview with David Sanctius, who's not like on the tip of planning. You know, he wasn't even firm that it was happening, just that he believed, he was under the impression that that was going to be happening. And that was before Springsteen had to cancel a shitload of his own band dates. And I don't think that that has a snowball's chance in hell of happening, that that Soul Covers tour. I think that it is lost in this whole health break.
Well, I'd be fine with it if it didn't happen. And he has said he has a volume two of Soul Covers. We'll see.
That I think, I think we'll see a release. I just don't think we'll see any significant, you know, I could see him doing a one-nighter in his barn and filming it a la Western Stars. I could see him doing something like that and putting that out, you know, inexpensively. But I don't see him going on tour and selling tickets for a Soul Covers tour anymore. I thought he was gonna. I believe that there was, but I just don't think he's got the room for it now. Like you said, Australia.
Financially, it doesn't make any sense to release another one of these when Soul Covers one. You know, I think he sold 5 copies. So
you
it's like,
know, why? Nothing about how many copies they sold. I don't know how many they sold either, but I know that when Springsteen puts out new material, enough people buy it that it's worth, you know. Some of the biggest artists of today don't sell any CDs. You know, it's all, they figure out other ways to make money, streaming and what have you, because every single young person just downloads their stuff. Nobody buys CDs or vinyl. But, you know, Springsteen still has that older market that still buys physical media. And when he puts it out, he still sells 1 million copies. I don't know how many, Only the Strong Survive he sold. It might not have been 1 million, but I know it's more than you think it was. It's definitely more than 5.
No. I'm usually right about these things.
My mom bought a download. My mom bought the whole album from iTunes, and she has never bought a Springsteen album ever. She heard one song from Tampa. Don't play that song. She saw my video of Don't Play That Song from Tampa. And she bought the album.
So ironic, that song. So have you heard the new Stones album that was released Friday?
I have it.
It's very good. I
haven't
listened.
Heard it. I haven't heard it. I have it. I haven't heard it. But I will hear it. I wouldn't have got it if I wasn't planning on listening to it. I am not a collector. I get things to listen to. I just haven't had time, man. I haven't heard... Fish just played 8 shows, and I have a video of every single one of them, and I haven't seen any of them yet. I mean, it's so busy, so busy.
Yeah, Paul McCartney just started a new tour. I don't see any U.S. dates yet, but I saw.
Did he start a new tour, or has he continued the same tour that he's been on since I saw him 25 years ago?
No, there's always a new tour. All right. I saw him a couple of times in Tampa. And
but talk about Static Setlist.
No, he plays a lot of the new stuff off the new albums that he does.
Really?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And he doesn't drag out songs. He plays
Live and Let Die, and he plays I Want to Hold Your Hand, and he plays all the ones I remember seeing him play when I saw him in 1995.
I'm not even sure he plays I Want to Hold Your Hand, but he may. He throws in a lot of Beatles songs, but he mixes it up a bit.
Didn't he play I Want to Hold Your Hand when Bruce joined him on the last tour? Bruce joined him twice, once in Europe and once in Jersey.
No, I wish they would have played that. No, they didn't. They played, oh God, I don't remember now, but it
I'm
wasn't
gonna find
that.
My video. I think it's I Want to Hold Your Hand.
No, I don't think so.
That and Glory Days. Glory Days and I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Maybe, man, maybe I'm... It's possible, but I don't think so.
I'll find it. I cut a video of that one. I'll find it. I'll put it up on my channel. It was on my old channel.
All right. Well,
I think we did it. I think we reached the end of another World's Greatest Springsteen podcast. Or anything you want to say before we go, Tom?
No, just the usual, Bruce. Forget this Soul Covers thing. Just release Tracks 2. Obviously, Soul Covers didn't sell. Tracks 2 will sell. So just release it. It doesn't need to be a Christmas release. You can release it in March and we'll buy it.
All right. The message from Tom straight to Bruce's ears through John Landau, who we all know is a regular listener of this show. John, call me. We'd like to have you on the show. We have a lot to talk about. So for Tom and for Maddie, I'm the Fisherman, and the World's Greatest Springsteen podcast loves you.